Alright, plug and pray. Alright, so good morning. We're in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Chet. We're in the Perek today. We're starting off at the bottom of Daf Yud Zayin. This year's being broadcast from Cape Town. David, it's sure to be this good weather during the rest of the day, so it was a pleasure waking up so early. Okay, Rabbi Nechemiah. The end of the Mishnah, right, the end of the Amud, we're up to Rabbi Nechemiah. Look quickly in the Mishnah over here on Daf Bet. So we've got Rabbi Nechemiah, right? Where's Rabbi Nechemiah in the Mishnah? Atachar Pishnayim. I think we're on Daf Bet of the Mishnah. On Amud Bet of the Mishnah, I mean, sorry. Rabbi Nechemiah, the very last line. This is the last Indian of the Mishnah. We're a long Mishnah. We've been on busy since Daf Bet. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, Matayim Veshloshim Keneged Sarasarot. So we asked yesterday, how do we get 120? And we had a whole discussion how we got 120, and that was Tanakama's opinion. Nechemiah says that you actually need Matayim Shloshim, right? So, and look at Rashi there, Matayim Shloshim, Dehainu Kaf Gimel Asiriot, 23 times 10. Shea Kolechad Mi Beit Din, Sar Shlasara. At least each person of the Beit Din has to represent 10 people, be a minister for 10 people, right? Look. Because of less than Asara, says Rashi, you don't find anybody who's a leader of less than 10. And that idea comes from Moshe Rabbeinu and the idea of the Asara Lafim Asara Meot. And therefore, we have to have at least 10 people under you. So therefore, we have to have 230. And that 230 represents 223 times 10. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara is a brighter. Tanya. Rabbi Omer, Matayim V'Shivim V'Sheva. I hear somebody waking up. Matayim v'shvim v'sheva. Right, Rebbe says 277, right? That you have to have 277 people in your city in order for the city to have a Beit Din. Okay, to be ra'oi to have a Beit Din. Right, Rashi, look at Rashi here. Matayim v'shloshim k'rebi Nechemiah. So how do we get to 277? 230 like Rebbe Nechemiah. The odd 47, another 47, Sheim Yitchalku Beit Din, okay, Chalas Vezakin, Vechalas HaMechayvin, Vechalomir Eini Yodaya, if it's a hung Beit Din, 11 say he's Chayv, 11 say he's Patur, and one isn't sure, Me'elu Mem Zayin, right, Eini Yodaya, Yosifu Me'elu Mem Zayin, you add from those 47, Ad Shivim, until you get to 70, Kedaminam Bayu Bodkin, Shemusifin Shnaim Al Shrim Vishalosh, because you need to have a difference of two, remember? So he says, Rashi, you have to have this 47 like a bank of people, and you take from these 47. Now, the obvious question that we should all be asking here is, why 47, right? Because remember we said yesterday we had 23 in the Beit Din, and we had 3 of 23, remember? Which, and the question was, we wanted to have 48 to get up to 71. Why 47? Right? Shabbos Fin Shalai Malakau. Imi Zaku Shlemi Mizakim Vechala Sam Mechayvin. Vim Yechayvu Chayv. Dika Hatayal Ra'a Pi Shnaim. We have to have a difference of two. Vim Yechalku Tarich Od Losif Shnaim. Vechen Olam Ad Shiyu Shivim L'Rebi Yehuda. You see that? If you would have said the Beit, the Sanhedrin Agal is only 70. Veshivim Vechad Rabbanan. So you'd have to have an extra one for Rabbanan. So that's how he gets to, Rebbe says 277. Rebbe Matashi Veshmone. See, we've got here another bright time. V'haytan Rebbe Omer Matayim Shvim V'shmone. So the Gemara says, Lo Kashya, Ha Rebbe Yehuda Ha Rabbanan. So there's one bright says he needs 78, one bright says 47, one bright says 48. Depending on Rabbanan or Rabbi Yehuda, you get a bright of 70 or 71. Okay, next bright time. Tan Rabbanan. V'samtalem Sharafim. So this bright over here that we're bringing over here, we're ending off the Perek over here, that we're talking about the Minuy of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, to Moshe, when he appointed guards, he had from 10 and 50 and 100 and 1,000 people underneath each one of them. Sarei Me'ot, 6,000. Now, how many Sarim were there for the Sarei Me'ot? There were 6,000, because there were 600,000 men of military age. Sarei Chamishim, 12,000. Sarei Asarot, 60,000 people who each had 10 guards under them. Nimtzu, Danei Israel, how many Dayanim were there in total in Eretz Israel, in the Midbar? Shivat Ribui, 70,000. Ushmonat Rafim, and 8,000 Mesheshmot. 78,600. Okay, that's a big, big hierarchy of courts to deal with. Right, Hadran Halach, Dinei Mamulot.
There were 600,000 men or
people? Right, no, we always talk about, always talk about Shishim Ribui, right? Shishim Ribui is 600,000. And 600,000, that's men who were of fighting age. Okay, that's how we did the calculation. Make your noise, eh? Right, good. Okay, so now we finished the paragraph. We did a mamonot. We finished the mamonot, which only took us 18 daf, yudche daf. Okay, now we start Perek Sheni of Sanhedrin, Kohen Gadol. Okay, so let's go through this. Quite an easy Mishnah, straightforward. Mishnah says as follows: Kohen Gadol dan v'daninoto. The Kohen Gadol can be judged, and he can judge. Okay, me'id u'me'idoto. He can give edut, and he can be testified against. Cholet v'chotzino ishto. If his brother should die, chas v'shalom. Okay, then he can do chalitza to his brother's wife. And if he dies, his brother can do chalitza to him. Umayabnit ishto, and if he dies, if you know children, they can do yibum with his wife, the Kohen Gadol, his brother can marry his wife with yibum. Avalu enu mayaben, he can't do yibum. Why? Ibnesha hu asur b'almana, because he, the Kohen Gadol, one of the Isurim of Kohen Gadol, he has to marry a betulah. He can't marry an almana. We'll see just now. There's a lav and an asay. There's a mitzvah asay that he has to marry a betulah, and a lotas that he can't marry an almana. And just remember that almana is also an almana, even if she's only from she's an arusa, right? If they've only done kiddush and haven't yet done chuppah, she's still called an almana, but she could be a betula. Are you with me? She's still a virgin, but she's already an almana. We'll see that just now. Mate lo mate, right? If one of the six members, you know, the close six of your family, that your father, your brother, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, who's not married yet, your wife. And what's the sixth one?
Son and daughter.
Child. Now your father, your wife, your mother, your sister who's not married, your son and daughter. Thank you. Right. Those are your six close relatives. Any of them die. Eino yotze achar amita. So this is interesting. This is the Tanakam. This you'll see this Yom Marishita. You don't go and follow the corpse. Right? Ella. He gives us a shidei. Ela hei nichnasin v'hu nigle. Hei nigalin v'hu nichse. So look at Rabbi Meir here. Look at Rashi quickly. And Yotze Achar Amita. Dilma Ataleminga. Why not? Because he might come and touch the dead body. Right? V'han is our kra. U'min ha-migdash lo yetze. Now there's a machlok Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. What it means u'min ha-migdash lo yetze. Rabbi Meir says, migdushato lo yetze. That he can't leave his kedusha. So he's scared he might touch the mate and leave his kedusha. Klomar yitrachek min ha-kiur. Right, he has to stay away from the tumah. Shlo yavol yidei tumah. V'hai kra b'kohen gadol onen ketiv. And specifically there, min ha-migdash lo yetzei. Right, migdushato lo yetzei. It's about the kohen gadol onen. Tichtiv le'el minei la'avivu limo lo yitama. So that's how Rashi learns it. That's why we know the context of the pasuk. Right, so what's Rabbi Meir's advice? Right, k'shehen yotzin mimavoy zev, d'chassin mimavoy zev, as they're going around the corners between the alleys, so he waits for them to go into the one alley when he can't see them, then he goes and looks at the body, and then he walks through the alley. When they're in the next alley, then he goes into the alley behind them. So he's always staying away from the people. But he can leave the Beit HaMikdash, called Rabbi Meir. Right? Ad petach shara, and then it says, yeah, v'hen niglin v'chzev, v'yotzei imahen ad petach shara'ir, to Rabbi Meir. And he can leave the Kohen, the Yerushalayim, up until the at Petach Sha'ir, to the gates. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Yotze Min HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, he can't leave the Mikdash. Why? Mishum Shneimar, Min HaMikdash Lo Yetze. Right, so now how does Rabbi Yehuda learn the Pasuk? So you look at Rashi there, Darish Min HaMikdash Dafka. It says, min, because the Pasuk says, Mikedushato Lo Yetze. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mikedushato means from the midnight Beit HaMikdash, he can't leave. Rabbi Meir says, no, it's Min HaKedusha Shelo, from his holiness he can't leave. Okay, and then the Mishnah carries on and says about the Kohen Gadol, right? Ukeshu menachem acherim, when he does nichum aveilim, right? Derech kol ha'am ovrin b'zeh achar zeh. So like we have a shura, right? So the shura that we're speaking about is a little bit different. Our shura, we stand in a line and the people walk past us and we all say, amakom yenachem. You'll see now in the Mishnah's understanding, right, that the shura was the avel stands, like you see in some Sephardi funerals, the avel stands, people all walk and line up and walk past the avel. Look at Rashi here. Kushur Menachem Beshura. See that? Beshura. Kashechodrim Mikvorit Hamet. They come bring the dead. She'en Shelo. It's not his. Don't matter anybody else's mate, right? Derech Kol Ha'am Ovrin Zeh Achar Zeh. U'menachmin Et Avel. The way of the nation is that they all walk past the Avel. And then Menachem Avel She'omed Ben Ma'amado, who stands still. Right, look at what the Mishnah says about the Kohen Gadol. Right, so Derech Kol Ha'am Ovrin Zeh Achar Zeh. So he does it the same way as everybody else. He walks past the dead person, the Avel. But he doesn't walk on his own. He walks such a way that he's walking. There's the Avel standing on, let's say, on the left. He'll walk, and to his right. What's wrong?
Cool. Go ahead, Ira, take over.
What happened? But now I've lost you all. What happened? What's the story? What's wrong?
You lost your picture and the sound.
Have you lost me?
Now that
you're,
yes, you're back.
No, we got a house here with this good Wi-Fi. You can hear me, can't you?
Okay.
Can you hear me? But now I've got that icicle back in my face.
Right.
It's the glare of the light above me. Come on. How's that? Better?
Yeah,
okay. So now basically when he does Nichum, so he walks, look what it says over here, Mematz'o b'lo b'ed acherim. Look at Rashi, Memano. Right? It says here, Memano. והממונה לצקן הכהנים ממצאו לכהן גדול בינו לבין העם שהממונה במינו וכל העם בשמאלו והוא באמצע. Okay, so basically make sure that there's somebody walking, guarding him on the side. He's not going to touch anybody or anything, etc. וכשהוא מתנחם, and when he's getting ניחום, if he's sitting שבעה, מתנחם מאחרים. כל העם אומרים לו, אנו כפרותיך. They all said to him, we are your כפרה. והוא אומר להן, תתברכו מן השמיים. Right, this is very simple. You go to a Sfardi Shiva house, they say, Tenuchamu min Hashamayim. You heard that? Nachamu, okay. Kashemavarinoto, what's Mavarinoto? Rashi says, yeah. Kedekai melan Avel, Suda Rishona Asu Lecho Meshelo. Right, the first Suda can't be his own. You got to bring him food. Kolam Mesubin al Aretz, everyone sits on the floor. Who may serve al Safsal? He sits on a bench. Right, because of his, Rashi says over here, they are mitavel for his tsar, who may say bichvod bechavod la safsal. Because of his color, it's a Kohen Gadol, it's at the top. And you'll see in a second that this whole part of the Mishnah of Kohen Gadol was brought really because of the Melech. And now comes the next halachas about the Melech. Hamelech lo dan v'lo dan in oto. Are you on Hamelech, right? Lo dan v'lo dan in oto. Just like we saw the Kohen Gadol, you can judge him and he can judge. The Melech, you can't judge him and he doesn't sit his debate in. Lo me'id v'lo me'inoto, he doesn't give witness testimony and you don't give testimony to him. Lo choletz v'lo chotzin ishto, there's no chalitza. If his wife or his brother, they finished, there's no chalitza, right? V'lo me'yavnim v'lo me'yavnim ishto, and also no b'yibum, he doesn't do yibum and no yibum to ishto. Look at Likutei Rashi there, lo me'yabein. Look at Likutei Rashi there, if those of you that have got it. In the middle, right at the bottom, in the big square, long lines of Likutei Rashi. Lo meyabem. Why not meyabem? Ve'yibum genayhu lo lakum al shem achiv. Okay, he's the king. He's not going to now start bringing up other names. He's looking after his name. Right, he's the king. That's the idea of here, why you don't do yibum. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im ratza lachlotz o liyabem zachu latov. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, he can. If he wants to do yibum, he can. Amru lo, but Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, ain shomin lo. We don't listen to Rabbi Yehuda. Chachamim said, we don't listen. So Rabbi Yehuda's got an opinion, very nice. We heard it. We don't listen to it. Right? V'ain lo sin almanato. And again, if he, God forbid, dies, you know, his wife never gets remarried. Rabbi Yehuda omer, no se amelech almanato shel melech. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, another king can marry the king's wife. So if there's a new king, he can marry her. Right? She came at Tinu B'David. She nasa almanato shel Shaul. Okay, Shinemar with a pasuk that says, "Ve'etna lecha beit adonecha, ve'et neshad adonecha b'chekecha." So here, if you look over here, that's the pasuk over there it comes from Shmuel Bet. So Shmuel said to David that he can marry up, he'll give him the house of Shaul, including his wives. So you can see over there that David HaMelech married Shaul's wives, so you can marry the wives. Okay, next game. Kohen Gadol, the Gemara says like this. Kohen Gadol Dan, Pshita, what do you mean Kohen Gadol? The Mishnah starts with Kohen Gadol Dan, that he can judge. It's Pashut. What's a Chiddush? The Gemara says no. Danin Oto Itzricha. The whole reason we learned Dan wasn't really for Dan, it was for the next line, Danin Oto. Since we wanted to say Danin Oto, we learned Dan. So Gemara says, Adami Pshita, it's also a Pashut, that you can Danin Oto. What? E lo danin alei, ihu heichi dayan. Obviously, you can judge him because we know that he can be a dayan. And how can he be a dayan if you can't judge him? Behakativ, right? Because basically, look at Rashi there quickly. Danin oto itchuchelei. Slaka datach. I mean, lo lezalzel lemete kame beidina. We might have thought that you can't mezalzel by bringing him in front of a beitin, right? That would be the have a minute. It's not mechubad to bring him in beitin if he's chayev. So Gemara says, no, obviously we can judge him because he can be a dayan, and we can't have a dayan who can't be judged. Right? It's a nice concept that, right? That you can't judge somebody if you yourself can't be judged. You have to understand that you can be judged to judge somebody else. It's not obvious, I agree. If you're about to say to me, I accept, it's not obvious. The Gemara is like, v'haketiv, hit koshashuku v'kosho. Because we've got a pasuk, right? The pasuk there says, in Tzafania, first you decorate yourself, and then you go and decorate others, right? Vid koshashu, decorate himself, and then others. So Amar Bishlakish, kasher atzmecha, v'chaka, kasher acherim. First, worry about yourself, then worry about others. Ela, so what's the habam? What's the chilush aviyah? So why are we saying it? It's obvious. If we say dan, and that's pashut, and we say no because of danin, and that's also pashut. So it's what's the Gemara telling us? Ela, I did a kabay lemitne melech. Lo dan v'lo danin oto, because you want to learn in the sefer of the Mishnah that with a king you don't judge him and he can't be judged. Tananami kohen gadol dan v'danin. So to keep the text in a similar pattern, we learnt about the kohen gadol, but really it's pashut. There's no real chiddush aviyah, and that's the first answer. The Gemara gives a second answer. V'ibayit ema. If you want to say hakamashra, what's the real chiddush here? K'detanya rakulint in a brighter kohen gadol sharagit hanefesh. B'meizid, a Kohen Gadol who killed somebody intentionally, ne'erag. B'shogeg, gole. And if it doesn't gole, b'shogeg, say, goes to your miklat. Vover alasei, v'alota asei. Look at Rashi quickly. Vover alasei, l'kaman parich, lo sagi lo'avar. We're going to see later, the Gemara is going to ask in the next Amud, right? And what if he never killed, if he wasn't over? What, he has to be over? In other words, we understand this bright at the moment that we're reading it as follows. Kohen Gadol that killed, on purpose, he goes to Yitzchayev Mita, and on Shogeg goes to Mezid, but that's only if he was over on an Asay velo Tasei. Halamako. Right, that's how we understand the Mishnah at the moment. Varehu Kedjot called Varav. And then he's a Hedjot called Varav. So when is he a Hedjot called Varav? If he was over an Asay velo Tasei. Right, then he's like a simple, then he's like a normal person. Then he gets judged like a normal person, and treated like a normal person. Right? So Gemara says what? Bemezid Nerag. Pshita, what's a chiddush in the brayta? When he kills somebody on purpose and you're going to get killed, it's a chiddush. He's a human being. You can't just kill anybody. Right? B'shogeg, gole itzrich. The Gemara says, no. The reason we learned in the brayta about mezid was really to teach us the chiddush of shogeg. Same idea. Now, you can see the parallel in this brayta to our Gemara, right? Which is asking the same questions on the Mishnah. So they said, no. B'shogeg, gole itzrich. That's why we turned, the brayta said, b'mezid, to teach us shogeg. So Gemara says, "Hanami pshita." Was also pashut. Well, if he kills somebody, b'shogeg, he goes to your miklat. What's the chiddush avia? With the itzrich, why do we need this? Saltat natachamina. What would we have thought? Hoyil uchtiv vayeshev ba admota kohen hagadol. Right? We would have thought that since the pasuk says that, remember this, we're talking about a kohen gadol now. Hey, we started off about kohen gadol, and we say we need kohen gadol because of the king. And then we said, but wait a second, and the second answer was that you're going to say that's why we're learning, we're still on the question of Kohen Gadol now. They even got sidetracked to Melech, we go back to Kohen Gadol, remember? Talking about the Kohen Gadol now. So why would we think the Kohen Gadol doesn't go to Ira Miklat? Because the pasuk says, "V'yeshev ba ad mota kohen agadol." Now he's the kohen agadol. So if he's going to go to Yira Miklat, so what? He's going to wait for himself to die, and then he'll go free. But he'll be dead. You got it? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Right.
Everybody in the Yira Miklat's going to try to kill him.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. It's a good point. Don't want to kill him, they go free. Good point. Right? That should have been a brilliant answer. The Gemara never thought of that answer. The Gemara never gave that answer, at least not here. Right? They said he can't go there because he'll cause too much problems. Right? So Aima called the Itlay Takante Bechazra Aligu. We might have thought, what's the Havamina? That when can you go to Ira Miklat? Only if you've got a Takana. Only if there's a Takana. In other words, if you are dependent on the Kohen Gadol dying and you can go free, then you can go to Ira Miklat. But if you haven't got a Takana, because you're the Kohen Gadol yourself and you're going to die, there's no going free, therefore you don't go there in the first place. That's the Havamina. You got it? Ari, I'm usually see you nodding your head. You aren't nodding your head.
Yep.
Huh?
Yep. I'm with you.
Right? The late late takanta b'chazara lo liglas. They would say, if he hasn't got a takana, then he shouldn't go. Right? And why would we say that? Why would we think that? It's not. I'm going to turn these pages down. It's not because we've got a Mishnah, right? And the Mishnah says, Hare Kohen Gadol, or Kohen Gadol she'haraget ha'nefesh, Enu yotze misham le'olam. Right? We've got a Mishnah that says that the Kohen Gadol, right, from Makot, that the Kohen Gadol who kills somebody, right, sharaget ha'nefesh, Enu yotze misham le'olam. So, Eime lo ligla, therefore we think maybe he could never, he hasn't gone in the first place to Ira Miklat. Kamashma, that he does go to Ira Miklat. So that's the second answer we gave. So the first answer, why? We had to learn in the Mishnah, dan v'danin. And so, okay, v'eima. So Gemara says, v'eima hachinami, maybe that's actually taka the case. He doesn't go to Ira Miklat. Maybe that's the limud, and Havamina was correct in the first place. Amakra, lanush shamer otseyach. Afilu kohen gadol mashma. So the Gemara says, no. When it says shama, lanush shamer, to flee to there, arotseyach, korotseyach, korotseyach. You see that? What's the call coming to teach us? Right? Afilu kohen gadol mashma, even a kohen gadol. So you see that even a kohen gadol will go to Ira Miklat, and therefore we learn to the Mishnah Danin v'Danin Oto, because we might have a minute that he wouldn't go, and therefore the Mishnah gives us the chiddush. Yes. Okay, next line in the Mishnah. Over alasei v'lo tasei. Now we saw there in this brighty which we just brought, that it said there, over alasei v'lo tasei. I explained there that the Havamina was, and in order for him to be chayav, he was only chayav if he was over an asei and lo tasei. So Gemara says, lo sagi de lo avar. It's not enough that he wasn't over. Maybe he just killed somebody who did something who didn't have era, but he wasn't over on an asse and a lot asse. Why be over a lot asse and an asse? So what is the hachikamar? Im avar al asse va a lot asse harehu kehedyot achol dvar. That's what we're saying. Not that he has to be over, but when do we treat him like a hedyot and he loses his status as a kohen gadol? He's over an asse and a lot asse. That was the chiddush of the brayta. So the Moshe Pshit knew where it's pashut. If it was over an asay, lot asay. Look at Rashi quickly. The second last wide lines of Rashi at the top there. Harehu kehedyot lidon b'shlosha. We can bring him to a regular baiting of three. When we learned early on in the Mishnah in the previous parak that a kohen gadol had to have a baiting of 23. Remember, kohen gadol had a baiting of 23. Robert's raising his eyebrows as if possibly we might have, but he's not sure. He's not convinced. You want to go and look at the Mishnah? We'll look at it in a second. If you go back here to Daf Bet, we learned over here. I'll be honest with you, I'm also quite my car code, but I'm
sounds familiar. Here.
Sounds familiar, eh? I just thought of that now as we were looking at it. Yeah, we're ain dani loeta shavet, loeta navi sheken, loeta kohen gadol, elapi beitin shel shivim ve'echad. Sorry, not 23. Okay, but nonetheless, it's not three. Okay, so I was partially correct, right? So that's what Rashi says over here. Lidun b'shlosha.
What?
What? Always. Right? We're optimistic, David. We're optimists. We see the positive side of things, right? So Rashi says, right? That's why. He suddenly becomes a hedyot. Now we don't even have a 71 anymore. We have a baiting of shlosha. Right? Called the Rav. So Gemara says, Pshita. What's Havamina over here? So in Sagadachamina, what would we have thought? Hoyil v'natan. Hoyil utna. We got a Mishnah. Ain danin loita shevet. Here it is. Yes, the good one. Right. The Lord Cohen got LLP baited Shushibin Vechad. Okay, here it is. Right? The Amar Rav Adabar Ava, and Rav Adabar Ava said, Kol Adabar Gadol Yavi Elechad, Rav Shal Gadol. Therefore, I am a cold Rav Shal Gadol. Right? Because what was the Havamina here? Havamina was that according to Rav Adabar Ava, how did he explain Kol Adabar Gadol Yavi Elecha? Davar Shal Gadol. Who's the Gadol? The Gadol is the Melech. The Gadol is the king and the Kohen Gadol. Right? So that's why we would have thought that we have to have a 71. Therefore, we said there, if avar lasei v'lo tasei, aroka hedyot. Kamashvlan that no, if he's over lasei v'lo tasei, we bring him to a beitin of 3. The Gemara says, I mean, maybe that's actually pshat that he has to have a beitin of 71, and we can't have a beitin of 3. Gemara says, mi ketiv divrei gadol. You misunderstand Rav Adabar Ava here. The pasuk didn't say divrei gadol, the dvarim of a gadol, a big person. Ela hadavar hagadol, but big things. Right, ketiv davar gadol mamash. Right, look at Rashi there quickly. The last wild lines of Rashi. Davar gadol mamash. Ima var aveira sheesh ba mitad beitin hu debayis nedregilol avam b'malkot lo. That's only davar gadol if it's about for mitah, but if it's done for malkot, we can bring him to regular beitin. And therefore, we learned the halacha the way that we learned, and that's why we said over there, over al hasev lo tasev becomes a hedyot. Okay, now we go back to our Mishnah, where we said meid, right? Meid din, meid umeidin oto, right? About the kohen gadol that he can give edut, and we can bring him for edut. The Gemara says v'hatanya bit alamta. We've got a limud. We actually learned this limud before. And the Sura Shas that says there brach bav metzia. Here we are, bav metzia lamed. Right, we'll see it's familiar. You'll see it in a second. It's familiar limud. We've got a pasuk that says v'hit alamta. Look at that pasuk there. It says lo tire et shorachicho et zion nidachim. Don't have a situation where you see your an ox of your brother, or a sheep nidachim pushed away. V'hit alamta mim, and you ignore it. Right, hashev teshivem nachecha. This is the mitzvah of Hashavat Aveda. Right, return it to your brother. So now the Gemara has a drush on the v'hit alamta. They never had to have v'hit alamta. It says lo tire et shorachicho et shor seon nidachim hashev teshivem nachicha. We never have the word alamta. It was meyutar completely, right? We could have easily understood the limud of hashev teshivem without the word v'hit alamta. Therefore, the writer picks up and says, "What does the word v'hit alamta mean?" It says pa'amim shata mitalem u'pa'amim shi'ata mitalem. There are times when you're allowed to mitalem. And that's really what's going on over here. Sometimes you can mitalem, sometimes you can't mitalem. Right, so when can you mitalem? Ha-kate, so how does this work? Kohen hu berakvarot. If a kohen is in the berakvarot, in the cemetery, and he sees over here a lost item, if you look at Ikutei Rashi, in line with Tosfot Deva, ha-tanan melech lo dan. Just a little two or three dibur ha-matchil dan. It says there, hu berakvarot, ha-aveda berakvarot. Right, this lost animal is wandering around the cemetery. The Kohen can't wander into the cemetery to pick it up because he's going to be tameh. Right, so in a case like that, he would be allowed to mitalem, to ignore it. Right, or zakein ve'en lefi kvod. Look at the in Likutei Rashi there again beneath that. Ein ha'aveda chashuva lefi kvodo lehashiva. In other words, it's not important enough for the Kohen Gadol, for this old man. It's beneath his dignity to go and pick up, I don't know, whatever you can imagine. Right, running around, he has to do it. Or says the Gemara, "Shatam melachashlo merubim mishel chaveru." If the time that it would, his time is worth more. We remember when we read this Gemara about Metzia, we used the example of a diamond dealer, right, or a diamond cutter, or a guy who's busy. Every minute of his is worth, I don't know, thousands of dollars. If he's an expert cutter, let's say, in the old days when these guys made good money, right? And he's now going to go and waste time running around finding something that's worth 10 shekels. Obviously, expect the guy to do it. So in a case like that, it's vitalamta. Lechach ne'emar, v'italamta. Right, so yeah, here's the point. Lechach ne'emar, look at Rashi there. Lechach ne'emar, v'italamta. So how's this related to our question of the Kohen? We said, me'id u'me'idin. Look at Rashi. Rashi explains the question. Lechach ne'emar, v'italamta. Alma kavod ha'briut tochei lav. Therefore, we've seen that the kavod ha'briut, we take into account people's status to tochei this lo tase of lo, the pasuk is lo tire shorachicha, it's sin rachim. Right, look at Rashi there. Alma kvora biyot tochelav, the law to chalitalem, it is in that of the isur. Vahachinami, so to in our case, zilotuhu, look up a coin gadlu, leite las hude le baldin. It's not fitting for the Kohen Gadol to bring him to be tested, to give aid to the Beit Din. Right, so why do we say over there, Me'id, Me'idinoto? Me'id, how do we bring him to be made? Right, it's a waste of his dignity, beneath his dignity. So I'm Rav Yosef. Rav says, no, when the Mishnah actually said it, who was he speaking about? Me'id la Melech. We don't bring him to give aid to a regular person, we give aid to a king. So the Gemara says, what is it, Hatna, Lord Dan, Lord Din, but what do you mean a king? We just learned from the Mishnah a second ago that you don't bring a king to Beit Din, neither as a judge or as a defendant. So who's he going to give aid to? The king can't come in the first place. So he said, no. Lord, Ella, Amrav, Zera, Me'id, Leben, Melech. No. If the son of a king comes to Beit Din, then we will call the Kohen Gadol, right, if he's got Eidut, to come and give Eidut to the king's son. The Gemara said, what are you talking about? Listen, look how brilliant this is. This is the difference of Jewish kings and non-Jewish kings. Look at the Gemara's question. Ben Melech, Hedjotu. There's no such thing as a prince in Judaism. You got a king, but his son is a normal Hedjot. He's got no special status, the son.
One son after the others.
No, the son inherits the father, but when he becomes king, he's king. Until he's king, he's just a normal person. He will one day become king. His father dies or gets killed when he's still alive. But until he becomes king, he's treated like a normal person. There's no halacha that a melech, we saw a melech has to have a Sanhedrin of 71, but a son of a king goes to a Beit Din of 3. He's a king, he's not a king, nothing special about him. Look at Rashi there. Ben melech hedyotu. So therefore, the hadar kushin neduchta, the question returns to its place. The ikazilut the Kohen Gadol. So what in the world is the Kohen Gadol doing here? Coming to Beit Din. Who's he coming to testify against? So says the Gemara, Ela Me'id bifnei melech. He gives Eidut in front of the king. What's going on over here? Who the king is now sitting as a dayan. Look at Rashi there. Sha'melech yoshev v'dan b'sanhedrin. Now we've got a big question, right? Going to be learned a second ago in the Mishnah. Sanhedrin. You don't put a king there in the Sanhedrin. So how can he be in front of the king? So the Gemara says, what's the answer? Mishum yekare de Kohen Gadol. If the Kohen Gadol, look at this. Mishum yekare de Kohen Gadol. Look at Rashi there. De yada besahaduta libre. Here the king, the Kohen Gadol, actually knows about something for the king's son. Right? So because of the cover of the Kohen Gadol, you bring the king. Look at Rashi. Ati Melech. The king comes. Yativ Ademi Kabel Saaduta. He'll sit there as a dayan out of the cover of the Kohen Gadol. He'll hear the testimony. V'kai Melech. And the king gets up. Azin leaves. Umayaninan Anan Bedina. And then the Sanhedrin continue. Look back in the Gemara. Look what?
This is him. Very just the Kohen Gadol is about to give testimony of the king's son, and all of a sudden the king walks in the room and sits there.
Well, we're assuming that the testimony is to defend the son. The testimony obviously knows something to help the son. That's what he's doing there. He's not coming to, I don't think, from when it says the yada besahaduta libre, he's got, he acts as a witness. It seems more like as a defendant. Like a defense witness than a prosecuting witness. I agree with you. That's what I think it would be. Right? So Ata Vayati Vakabin Ali Saduta, Kaihu Vazil, and he goes, Umaninale Anabedine. So now we've solved the problem of when will the Kohen Gadol come to Beit Din to give testimony. Okay, the Gemara says now Gufa. Right? Now we discussed in that particular brighty, we said Ain Moshe Melech Sanhedrin. Right? That we just quoted a brighty, we said you don't put a king there in the Sanhedrin. And the same idea that you can't have a king or a Kohen Gadol to come and give testimony on Ibul Shana. I've meant this before to you in our shir many times. And this is my father's always gone on about as a little kid about the importance in halakha of having negiah when you got a vested interest in something. Here are two classic examples. You've got to remember this forever. Really, it's very important examples of this. Look at this. And Moshe Melech says, when? Lo Melech lo Kohen Gadol b'Irushana. So for example, the two examples the Gemara brings, that a king and a Kohen Gadol are pasul. They can't be involved in being Ibur, adding a month to the new year. Why? Melech b'Sanhedrin. Why not a king in the Sanhedrin? Dichtiv lo ta'ne'ariv. Right? Lo ta'ne'ariv. It's the pasuk in Mishpatim. Lo tiyeh acher rabim la'ra'ot. We learned this pasuk before in the first parak, of why we needed to have an odd number of dayanim, right? Because you couldn't have, you had to go in after the rov. Lo tiyach rabim deraot, lo tane ariv, lintot, acharei rabim latot. You go after the majority. Now look at that pasuk in the word riv is written. Lo tane ariv is written without a yud. Can you see that? It's lo tane arav, right? Lo tane, you don't answer on the rav. Look how the Gemara learns it. Lo tane ariv, lo tane arav. Look at Rashi. Lo tane arav. Right, ein charashai li store et divrei mufleshe b'dayanim. The greatest one of the dayanim, you aren't allowed to contradict his words. V'amar melech chova, and if the king, right, would be asked in the Beit Din what his opinion was, he said the guy's chayev. Tu lo mati ein chalemechse leizechut. You won't find anybody else. You can then afterwards come and find a zechut for this guy. So you can't have a king sitting in the Sanhedrin, because as soon as he says something, nobody's going to argue with him. And if he says chova, that's the end of the din. The whole judgment's gone. And then lo tane ariv, lo melech, lo kohen gadol, ibu shana. And why not with regard to ibu shana, the king or the kohen gadol? Melech mishum asvanya. So the melech because of asvanya. Look at Rashi here, an amazing chidush here. He says here, melech asvanya mechalek mamon lechaylutav kach vekach leshana. The king would pay his army or his officers or his staff on an annual basis. So now, annual basis, he doesn't care if they're 12 months in the year or 13 months in the year. They get paid the same amount of money. And if they're 13 months in the year, the king saves a 12th, right? Every year, pays a 12th less. V'noach lo, look at Rashi here. Sheyu kol ha'shani b'barot. As far as he's concerned, every year be a 13-month year, right? Because every year he'd save a month of the salary. Because he pays him a flat fee for the year, and therefore they must divide it by 12, right? And Kohen Gadol, but look at the Kohen Gadol, mishum tzina, because of cold. This is the amazing chidush. Look at this here. Look at Rashi Kohen Gadol. Eino rotzeh shtabesh. He doesn't want the year to be extended by an extra month. Because let's just think about it for a second. When you add on an Adar, what are you doing? You're pushing Tishrei off. Agreed? Tishrei is now later on in the season. So now Tishrei will now be further away from the summer. Just think now, we're in August in Israel, right? August is the hottest month. The sooner that Yom Kippur can be closer to the hotter months, the better for the Kohen Gadol. Look at Rashi. Bibnei Atzina, she tzarich lidbol ulekadesh b'yom HaKippurim chamesh tfilot v'ashrakash. You have to dip in the mikvah 5 times and do a kiddush yadayim v'raglayim 10 times, washing his hands and feet. V'im titaber shana. And if you add a month to the year, harei Tishrei b'mar Cheshvan. Tishrei ends up being in when Cheshvan would have been. And Tzinat Mar Cheshvan Tiyeh B'Tishrei. And therefore the cold of Cheshvan is ready in Tishrei. So the water is much colder. So for 1 month that the Kohen Gadol would want the year to be, Yom Kippur to be closer to the summer months, he's pasul from Eidut of Birachos. You see here the level that if you talu b'davar, you pasul from Eidut. That's a classic example of a Kohen Gadol. Like we might have a Hava Amina that he already says, let's not do Ibur because he wants to have a warmer month. Okay. Abba now says to him, Gemara.
No air conditioning in those days. He doesn't want it in the summer. He wants it colder.
No, the water. We worry about the water.
Yeah, the water. He's fasting. He's got all these clothes on. He wants a clothes.
You must remember the two things. The Kohanim did all the avodah barefoot. Now, we discussed this as well more than once. And my Rav of Kronbach and Yeshiva used to tell us that the Gemara, I haven't seen it properly, but it says the Gemara is full of stories of Kohanim getting sick and complaining. They never had proper heating systems. That when they're walking around barefoot the whole day, they're all getting sick. So their floors are cold. It's winter now, the floors are cold, they're getting sick. And he's got to now go 5 times into the mikveh, into freezing cold water, 10 times wash his hands and his feet, and walking around barefoot. It's a recipe for disaster. Right? So he'd rather have a warmer floor and warmer water. Okay, let's go. Now the Gemara, next part of the Gemara, I'll be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure of exactly how this all works, but I'm going to pop it up as a result of what we just learned over here now. Of the Kohen Gadol not wanting to push the month off because it's going to get colder. He says, like a Shema Minah, from this we learn, Shate Batar Yarch Azil. The year goes after the month. Right, look at Rashi. Rashi tries to explain it. Right, Achar Yerechim Haruim Liot. The year goes after the months that they would have been, the season that was right. In other words, if now we push Tishrei into Cheshvan, so Tishrei now gets the season, the weather of what Cheshvan would have got, I think. Im lo nitabra, if you hadn't done the Ibur, right, it would have now been Cheshvan. But now Tishrei. So if it's Tishrei, it's in Cheshvan. Okay. הולך קור וחום של שנה, וצינה הרויה במערכי שוון, הביא בתשרי, כשמרבה, אם אנחנו explain now with the Kohen Gadol, מאיפה תשרי נהיה קורד להכחי שוון. Right? Shatav says about this. It's the verse is now. Hanich shalosh, but we. How can you say that? We've got a story of the three shepherds. Tavu kamei v'shminu rabbanan takamer and rabbanan and the chacham overheard them talking. Now we need Rashi here to help us translate this whole conversation. So keep one finger here on Rashi, right? Im bachir, right? One chadamar, the one shepherd said, im bachir v'lakish kechada yainat deinu adar. Im lav late deinu. If this happens, this adar is not even adar. Look at Rashi. Im yehechom bekarka. If the floor gets hot, v'itzmach zera habachir va'afela yachad. And the two different types of produce, one which would be early in the season normally, which is wheat, one which would be later normally, which is barley, if they both ripen at the same time, chitin shnizru b'rosh ha'chodesh v'asorin shnizru achshav deinu adiminat adar. Right, that means it's Aruch is really getting, it's really part of the summer. Ve'im lav, late dein Adar el Shvat. Adar hasn't come yet and it's still shut. It was not the season yet. That was the first guy said. Ve'char amar, and the other one said, im tor b'tzvar b'talag yemot, u'betihar le'betol taliyad boch yishla mashchei dein hu Adar. Look at Rashi, yeah? Im tor b'tzvar, im b'bakar, right, with your cattle, ye'kor chazak, ad she'ashor karov lamut b'chmar atzina. If the ox is going to die, right? It's so cold that the ox is going to die from the cold. Ubetahira batul ta'inti yidmon. Ubetzohorayim in the afternoon. Yigdal kochom, it gets so hot in the afternoon, right? So in baboker yekor. If in the morning it's so hot, it's so cold that the ox is going to die. But in the afternoon, it's so hot. That the ox is rushing for look for shade under the fig trees, right? Then we know it's Adar. And if not. In other words, in Adar, it's cold in the morning but hot in the afternoon. V'chad Amar, and the third one said, Im kidum tekof lechada, right? Im kidum tekof lechada, yeh yifach bluach, nafich lechibla, then it's Adar. Look at Rashi there. Im kvar tashash koach achorif koach, the winter months that pass, it's not so cold any longer. Keshe yeh ruach mizrachi chazakam, when the eastern wind is very strong, v'hi meviat zin, it brings cold. When you're blowing with your mouth, you're telling you something about blowing the wind. I don't know exactly what it means there. Then it's Adar, right? Ve'im lav leit dein Adar. And Chachamim heard them saying all these things. Ve'abru Rabbanan ha'ishat, Rabbanan moved the month. That was it Adar? Because they put on an extra Adar so that the first Adar wouldn't really be Adar. So it seems over here that it's not going after the seasons. Like we said, that if you make it Ibur, then the month now goes into the new season. Here we were adjusting the month because of the seasons. It seems like the season hadn't yet come. You with me? I think that's Pshat is over here. Yeah? So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? V'tizra Rabbanan, arva'ut ha'samuch. Think that the Rabbanan made their whole decisions based on a couple of shepherds. And Rabbanan achshuvinai hu'samuch. They rely on their calculations. V'ro'ei bakar. They just help make the decision because they decided it was the right time now for the calculation. But when they heard the shepherds talking, so they knew that the time was hadn't yet come, it was the right time. But the actual fact, the halacha is that the season will be after the month, and therefore if they move Tishrei, it will become cold. It would have been Cheshvan, and that's why the Kohen Gadol can't be part of that. Okay, the next part of the halacha we learned about the Kohen Gadol. Choltin, choletz v'choltin, he does chalitza and we do chalitza to his wife. So the Gemara says, kapasik, v'tani, the fact that the way the Mishnah said choltin v'choletz means just stam, right? Lo shtam in ha'erusim, v'lo shtam in ha'erusim, that's what I said at the very beginning of the shir. Like the difference whether his wife, there were only a kiddushin ya, or if there was chupa, right? Because it says there, choltin, choletz v'choltin. So the Gemara says, bishlom in ha'erusim, we understand why. You know what, let's leave this off over here, this is a new sugya. So we will...